Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, you have reached John White here at Lilydale, New York. Lilydale with Journeys of the Light. Well, welcome to our online show where you could phone in and ask questions about mediumship, spiritual development, meditation, healing, and also the gifts of the spirit and different activities here in Lilydale. If you'd like to phone in, I'm your host, John White. And you could phone in at 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818. Okay. And we have Joyce on the line here, who's one of the producers. How are you tonight, Joyce?
I'm fantastic, John, and I just want to say welcome to all of our listeners. This is the second year that Journeys of the Light has been on. It's the first batch of Lilydale radio shows. There are four altogether, and there may be more in the future. But, John, tell the audience about the intention behind Lilydale radio.
Okay. Well, the intention behind Lilydale radio is to help you to get informed about the activities here at Lilydale, but mostly about spiritualism. So spiritualism is a science, a philosophy, and a religion of continuous life. And why we call it a science, it is based on natural law. So whether you are a scientist who's bearing the seeks of knowledge in order to awaken the things to do with science, or you're meditating to awaken the gifts of the spirit. All sciences, either physical, mental, or spiritual, are all based on natural law. So spiritualism is a science, and it is a philosophy. And what we mean by a philosophy is it's a way of living, it's a way of life. And it is based on the golden rule that all the major religions in the world do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Now,
and
John,
it is also a way of living.
As you mentioned before, that spiritualism once upon a time, maybe 100 years ago, was quite popular, especially in America. One in 10 Americans were spiritualists, and I believe that Abe Lincoln was one of them, and I know his wife used to hold seances in the White House. And, you know, the more I got to thinking about it, spiritualism is probably one of the only religions in the world that has not been involved with any violent activities. Is that correct?
Well, yes, because, you know, in truth, all religions are man-made. It depends on unconscious. It depends on the consciousness of the race. Spiritualism simply has no dogmas or creeds. It is basically interested in helping people to understand that life goes on after the change called death. Now, all religions talk about it, but most of the religions don't have an understanding of procedure and how it happens. And so that's why spiritualism is simply for the purpose of helping people to understand the transition between this world and the next. Let me just talk a little bit about Raymond Moody. Raymond Moody is a doctor, and he wrote a book many years ago about having done research on people who were having near-death experiences. And so Raymond Moody, you could say he was a doctor, but a lot of parapsychologists, I'll say that again, a lot of parapsychologists were very much interested in psychic and spiritual phenomena. And, of course, spiritualism is based on spiritual phenomena. That means the spiritualists, as mediums, use and work with the gifts of the spirit. So again, Joy, spiritualism is for the purpose of helping people to understand life after life. Now, spiritualism has been around since the beginning of time. So whether you're talking about the different Bibles and communicating with different angels, okay, it's all spiritualism. So most people who read the Bibles, they don't kind of understand that. But all the Bibles in the world were written by people who use this part of their mind. So yes, spiritualism is obviously based on peace. And spiritualism doesn't, we're not trying to convert people to become spiritualists, because we're not telling people that if you become a spiritualist, the doorway to heaven is open to you. No, if you become a spiritualist, then you understand that all life here or in the next is based on natural law. And again, the basic law of spiritualism is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay, actually, Joyce, we have quite a few calls. Are you in charge of that? Okay, I'm going
to... Yes, John, I just wanted to ask you a question from Kristen. She's calling... She texted us from Buffalo, New York, and she wanted to know... she says she's been having... very vivid dreams and lately, and a few times she's been woken up at night, and she's wondering if this is something that she should be concerned about, or how can she continue to open up in a positive way.
Okay, now we're not from the question, we're not really sure what type of dream she's having, but I'm assuming she's having what is known as lucid dreams. And dreams of ancestors and angels on the other side of life. So I'm assuming that's her question. And it is normal for a person who is developing their spirituality to start to have what is known as lucid dreaming. Actually, in Tibet and in different monasteries in the East, and some in mystical Christianity, they teach people that our dreams are very important. And when we dream, whether you know it or not, that you do have access to other dimensions. And in advanced learning, they teach you how to awaken those dream states while you're dreaming and to be able to communicate with people who have passed on. To tell you the truth, Joyce, the most profound evidence that I have had in my life is not what other mediums have told me or even what I have got in meditation. It is through the art of what is known as lucid dreaming or spiritual dreaming. That's where I've had ancestors that come to visit me, and angels come to visit me. So that's a very important part of our spiritual development. So I hope that answers her question, Joyce.
Okay, and John, just I was hoping you could share with our listeners your story about your past life as a Tibetan monk and when you were learning to astral travel. And you said that your teacher showed you that you were actually a little bit of a naughty Tibetan monk sometimes when you went on your travels. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, let me just say I was a little mischievous. I don't want to use the word naughty. Mischievous. Okay. So I was regressed into a past life. Like a lot of people have been regressed into a past life. And, you know, some people who have doubts about past life is that, no, when I do regress people to past lives, and some people say, well, how come people come back as a prima donna or rather masters or saints? Well, let me tell you the truth. I'm a person who regresses thousands of people, and very rarely do you ever come back as such a being as that one, okay? So we come back as just very normal, just like you and me. But I was regressed into a past life, and I saw myself as a Tibetan monk in Tibet, and the teacher was showing me how to do what is known as soul traveling. It's in Tibet, it's called developing the dream body. And as I learned how to develop the dream body, I learned the technique of how to affect the physical world from the spiritual world, okay? And I would just play childish little tricks on people. And that's what like Joyce meant.
Like what? What did you, what tricks did you?
Well, just very simple tricks. Like I remember a specific story where there was this man fishing, and every time he caught a fish, I would move the fish somewhere else, or I kept on moving his fish on him. Just simple things like that, or basically knocking over his bait into the water. Just simple little things like that. But the point is that we can learn how to an advanced training. We can learn how to affect the physical world from the spiritual world. But that's pretty high up on the ladder of lucid and spiritual dreaming.
But anyways, did your teacher lecture you about those activities?
Yes, yeah, of course. And that's why in this lifetime, I have no patience for anyone who's pretending to be a medium or pretending to get things that they're not really getting. I take my work very seriously, and I expect people to take their spiritual work very seriously also. And in fact, if you want to really develop yourself intuitively and spiritually, if you don't take your work very seriously, then the angels will move on and help somebody else. So it is actually very serious. And actually, Joyce, it's a blessing. It is a blessing to be a medium, to help people to communicate with loved ones who have passed on. So a lot of healing happens with that. And you could also help people to forgive and to communicate with their loved ones. Now, not every medium can reach for everybody. And if you ever meet a medium that thinks they can, well, they're fooling you and they're fooling themselves, because it's all based on vibration. So sometimes you may go to a medium, and also the medium may have to be a very good medium, but your vibrations, your energy and their energy is just not clicking that day. It doesn't mean that they're not a good medium, and it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. I personally cannot reach for everybody. Now, I can reach for most people, but there are times that I can't, and so that's normal.
And why, okay, John, you're able to read for most people, and why do you think that is? Is that because of your special disciplines that you do every day?
Yes. And maybe that has something to do with me being a monk in a past lifetime. You know me, Joyce. I go away to silent retreats, and I do about an hour and a half of almost every morning. Do about an hour and a half of special breathing exercises. So I've done a lot of yoga courses over the years, and also used to teach Tai Chi. And so over the years, I've learned how to control the life force through my breath and through discipline. And that's one of the natural laws.
And just
okay,
to pick up on one other thing you mentioned, John, you had said it's very, very important to you, of course, and really to everyone who's the half-decent person, you know, for there to be honesty in your mediumship. And Lilydale is all mental mediumship. And at once upon a time, there was some physical mediumship, but in order to protect the public because of all kinds of things going on around the country, they stopped doing the physical mediumship. Is that kind of accurate? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you know the history.
Well, what happened, Joyce, is yes, there is physical mediumship. And what do we mean by physical mediumship? Well, you may be surprised, but Jesus was the medium, okay? And that when Jesus went on the mountain with James, John, and Peter, and a white cloud appeared over Jesus' head, and that white cloud is called ectoplasm. It's a substance, a chemical substance that happens with the medium. So a white cloud appeared over Jesus' head, and that white cloud comes from the medium's body, comes from the energy body. And Elijah and Moses materialize in a mediumship that's called physical mediumship. And then there's transfiguration where the spirit will transfigure over the medium. And sometimes there's independent voice. And all those things happened with Jesus when he was on the mountain, when Elijah and Moses materialize. Now, I have personally been in home circles, and spiritualism started off as home circles, where there has been physical phenomena. But I've also been in quite a few different circles where the person was pretending to
to be a physical medium, okay? And so to protect them, what happened is that they disallowed any physical mediumship to happen because sometimes a magician is so good at what they do, they use trickery in order to pretend that they're doing physical phenomena. And that, to make a long story short, is pretty sick, okay? And again, I have no.
And you were actually You were actually a whistleblower. Well,
yes,
John,
I was
at, for a spiritualist camp.
At another spiritualist camp in Indiana. Yes, I took care of the art gallery museum, and I knew all about the history of spiritualism, and I would have to teach that to people. And I took care of a museum, and I caught several mediums. And I caught several mediums basically pretending to do physical phenomena. And I, you know, and I basically told them that it wasn't a very good idea. And people got very upset because of that. Okay, yeah.
But there are still some sincere.
Oh, now there are some real, no, don't get me wrong. There are some real physical, there are some real still good physical mediums, okay? But first of all, the public doesn't understand that, okay? And so here at Lilydale, off the ground, not on the ground, but off the ground of Lilydale, sometimes different mediums come and we can go see them. But it's really not open to the vast public. But there are some. There are some real physical mediums also. Yes, that is very true. And it is a very rare gift, and it takes a lot out of the medium. And it's actually pretty dangerous, by the way. Okay. Okay, so we do have some callers. And
okay. Looks like we have Michelle from Florida. Are you here with us, Michelle?
Yes.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Is there something you want to ask me?
Poems in the green duffel bag.
Michelle, do you want to ask me something?
Michelle, you lost an item, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now what did you lose, Michelle?
A green duffel bag with poems. Did somebody throw them away, or are they in my storage unit?
Okay, let me just. So you're asking me to find your book. I'm looking for poems. Is that what I'm looking for?
All of my poems were stored in a green duffel bag. And I don't know where they are.
Okay. God, honey, when's the last time you've seen them? Because I'm not getting a definite fix on them. When's the last time you see them?
June the 1st.
Okay. Have you moved since then?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry I don't see them around. I'm afraid they may have gotten tossed out.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you, honey. Okay, so we're reaching John White here, and we're at Lilydale, Journeys of the Light. If you'd like me to tune in and ask spiritual questions about mediumship and about spirituality and the activities here at Lilydale, then please phone in at 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818.
And for those of our listeners who have never been to Lilydale but know a little bit about it, the regular season is the summertime, but all year long there are activities going on, especially in the fall and then again in May and June when things start to defrost out here in Western New York. But every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., there is healing for everybody. It's open to the public, and it's right here in Lilydale in the Healing Temple. And what happens is people are able to just walk up to the front and sit in a chair and receive a spiritual healing from one of the volunteers. And then there is also a little mini message service that happens every Wednesday as well. On Sundays, there are three church services. Two of them start at 10 a.m., and the third one starts at 6:30 p.m. The first two are both in Lilydale. One is in the Assembly Hall, and one is in the Healing Temple. And then the 6:30 one is right outside the gate in the building with the purple awning. If you've ever been to Lilydale, you'll know it's on Dale Drive next to the water. And, John, that used to be an Italian restaurant, right? You remember when it was an Italian restaurant?
Yes, I remember when it was an Italian restaurant, and I also remember when it was a motorcycle bar. So things have changed over the years. Actually, our dear friend Amy Checkins' family started the Italian restaurant. It was a beautiful one. And Amy Checkins, by the way, is very active here at Lilydale, and she's the one that's responsible for starting the Church of the Living Spirit. And so the Church of the Living Spirit has ongoing classes all year round. And at this time, every Friday night, there's an amazing medium, Judith Rochester, who just wrote an amazing book, Development. So if you're here at Lilydale on Friday nights around 7 o'clock, it's open to the public if you're sincere. And I believe it's just simply a $10 donation. And you can sit in Judith Rochester's class. And, of course, other churches on the grounds also on Sunday are the Church of the Living Spirit. Like I said, the healing starts at 10, and then what happens is that the official service starts at 10:30, and then the National Church also starts at 10:30. And then we have Fellowships of the Spirit is where that restaurant was just off the grounds. And so in the wintertime, we have three different church services. Actually, Joyce, right now I do believe that the Healing Temple is going on right now here at Lilydale, isn't it?
Actually, John, I think it wrapped up about 15 minutes ago. But it is one of the nicest things about Lilydale. You know, mediumship is about connecting with our loved ones on the other side, but it's also about healing. And, you know, if you talk to any of the mediums here, they'll talk a lot about that healing aspect. So, you know, it's really a big part of Lilydale. And aside from, you know, the healing on Wednesdays and the church services, there's also a mediumship development class every Friday with Judith Rochester. She is one of the longtime mediums here. People love her class. She is so supportive and encouraging. She actually has a few workbooks out as well. So if it's something you're curious about, she's a great place. Her workshop is a great place to begin. That is Friday evenings at 7 p.m. John, we have a caller from California. Her name is Carla. She wants to talk to you about finding out what's going on with her daughter, and also she has a mediumship question for you. Carla, are you here with us?
I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Carla. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Reverend John. Yes, so...
Okay, well, go ahead.
Yes, my daughter is going through a little bit of a difficult time trying to get over a gentleman, and she knows that it...
Well, don't say anything more. Just say your daughter's initials, because it's an open line, and I'll just tune into her. Say
okay.
Your daughter's initials.
Okay, yes. It's a P.
Okay, just Peter. Pete. Okay. Okay, let me go visit her just a moment. You know, I get a feeling, in my interpretation, I get a feeling she may be going through this actually until the springtime, okay? And then I get a feeling like whatever lessons that her soul needed to learn, she has gotten the lessons, okay? And don't misunderstand this, but in the future, she'll thank God that the relationship didn't work out, because she will be in a better relationship, and if she would have remained in that relationship, then I really feel a lot of problems and insincerity with that person that she was in the relationship with. So this is actually maybe difficult for us to swallow, but I really feel as though this is a good thing that that relationship is no longer going on, honey.
Okay,
good.
Okay.
Is there another question you'd like to ask us today?
Yes, I would love that. I was wondering if you or someone in spirit could help me figure out when I would be moving. I've been wanting to move for a while now, for over a year, and just one thing or the other hasn't happened. And I was wondering when you see that happening.
Okay, let me figure this out. Well, I need to focus because it's kind of a, I don't want your address because you know you're on the air.
Right.
But can you say the name of the street you're on? Say the name of the street and city.
Oh goodness. That's tough. I
just need to focus.
I can name the name of the city, Los Altos.
Okay.
California.
Okay, let me try. It just helps me to focus. Just give me a moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me get this straight. Did you fix it up a little bit?
I did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when I sensed you fixing up, then I thought, well, maybe you're going to stay, but no, I don't think you're going to stay, even though you fixed it up a bit.
Right.
I get a feeling that, I know by the spring, I'm in the springtime with you. Now, I don't know if you're moving right in the springtime, but the springtime, mm-hmm. you seem to know where you're going. So you seem to be putting all your plans together in the springtime of when you're moving. I don't think you're moving that far actually. Okay? And I get a feeling of wherever you're moving, I'm being told that it will be a lot more private and you'll have more of your own space, if I may say that. Okay? And everything seems to be clean and new. Everything seems to be clean and new and bright. And wherever you're moving, there's a lot of beautiful parks. And don't misunderstand this, but I really feel as though you're moving into a very safe part of town. So it feels like it's, I don't know if it's a gated community or it's like a gated community, but it feels relatively safe. So do you do yoga?
No, I don't.
Well, where you are, I may be in your future here. I get a feeling of there's going to be a yoga studio and a workout, a place that you work out and go swimming and all those things. So it'd really be a community that really will support your health also. So that really feels
That's
good.
Interesting.
But I don't really feel as though like I'm around the end of March when I feel as though that you're doing that. Now that's just my interpretation, but that's exactly what I get. Okay,
that's
good.
Interesting. That makes I'm just wondering because you said it wouldn't be far, but I'm actually planning to leave the state. So that was a little confusing.
Okay. Well, let's find out what state. Let me find out what state are you thinking of leaving to?
Well, I'm thinking in the East Coast, perhaps New York.
Okay. Well, that's kind of still up in the air, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's not clear yet, okay? I don't know that. I'm not going to tell you anything I don't know, okay?
Okay.
Do you have a brother out there in New York?
Yes, in the area, not too far from New York.
Okay, because when I go to try to find out who's there that you know, I felt a brother. That's why I asked you that question.
Mm-hmm.
That's still up in the air. Now, just because I said it's up in the air, it doesn't mean you can't or you won't, but that's just my opinion at this time, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate
Thank you.
It. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, John, next we have
Bhavana. She's calling all the way from Hawaii. She found us here. She's actually familiar with Lilydale because she grew up in Western New York, but now she's calling us from across the world. And Bhavana, you have a question for John, actually about your relationship. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Okay, how can I help you?
Thank you. Well, my boyfriend just moved in with me, and I just wanted to get some guidance on this relationship, and eventually I'd like to get married.
Yeah, well, don't say too much, just because to keep it personal.
Okay.
Just say his initials, please.
A.L.
Okay. Let me see what I get. He's if you're getting married to him, you will be the one that will be making the plans, okay? Now, let me get that straight. I didn't say you wouldn't or you couldn't get married to him, okay? But I don't feel as though he's going to come up with a date, all right? Okay? So I get a feeling he seems to have a tendency to go along with you. Now, is that always true or is that just happening recently?
I think that's more recently.
Okay, yeah, I get a feeling of almost like a change of way of thinking with him. So I see him going along with you. Okay. Now he's beginning to feel more comfortable about himself and his life when he's with you. Okay. So I get a feeling. I'm not an astrologer, but what's his astrological, what is he?
He's a Sagittarius and so am I.
Oh, I thought he was. So am I. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm in the middle of March, so if I was a famous astrologer, I would say around the middle of March, you should have a date when you're getting married, okay? Well, I hope he's not listening because we don't want him to do that just because I said so. But I really get
no, he's at work.
I really get a feeling that he'll go along with you, okay? And that's it. And again, I get a feeling that he's feeling more secure and happier with himself, okay? And I could tell you this that there are different members of his family that are very happy that he's with you, that he has found someone with you, someone like you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Would he make a good husband for me?
Okay, that's an interesting question, but let me say I want to say he's normal, okay? Normal is good, all right? Okay, so I get a feeling he's got a lot of common sense, and he's got good boundaries. Okay, so that's the making of a good partnership. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very
much
for calling us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. Okay. So that was an interesting call all the way from Hawaii, and to our people who are listening to this show right across North America and, of course, Hawaii, Australia, and also in England. And you're listening to John White. We are here live in downtown Lilydale, Journeys of the Light. And here's a beautiful song.
And that was Robin Dawn Bennett, Their Journey Within. She was an organ player and a singer and a musician, Karen Lilydale, for many years until she crossed over to the other side. And that's her beautiful music will live on forever. If you like that song, you can find it on iTunes. And John, speaking of crossing over to the other side, I was just talking with my father the other day about a dream I had after my great aunt passed, and I saw her in the dream. She was on the other side of a river, and the river was beautiful, clear blue water with dolphins swimming in it. And I could see on the other side, it looked just like the side I was on. And my uncle is a very, very good Catholic, and he informed me that in the Bible, they compare heaven or the other side to just crossing the river. And what do you think of that?
Yes, that's actually a normal thing in all religions. There's a poem, I don't know the exact saying of the poem, but there's a saying that like when we pass a river, and there's, for instance, a person is crossing a river and people at their funeral are waving goodbye to them. But at the same time, on the other side of the river, which is the other side of life, is people are welcoming them. So, yes, sometimes a river in all the religions actually is a symbol that on the other side of the river, on the other side of life. And thank you, Joyce, for bringing that up, because quite a few people have that symbol in their dreams, because passing on to the other side of life is just like crossing a river, just waking up on the other side of life. And when we get to the other side of life, yes, we do meet members of our family that we knew, mother and father, brothers and sisters, aunts and cousins. And we also begin to meet people that we didn't really know when we were in this world, like different grandfathers and ancestors. Now, just because you don't know your grandfathers and your ancestors, it doesn't mean they don't know you, and it doesn't mean that they don't continue to work with you. And they are very much interested in you, because you're part of the family tree. And as the saying goes, everybody is part of the family tree. And so when a person does very well in their life, it benefits the whole family tree. Okay? But again, this has nothing to do with judging you, whether you're doing well or not. But of course, doing well helps the family tree. And the other side of the thing, Joyce, is that when we pass on to the other side of life, it doesn't take us that long to realize that we're becoming younger again. Because on the other side of life, it's a different, higher vibration, that there's no such thing as time. So in that spiritual world, if time doesn't exist, therefore age doesn't exist. And so a lot of the times when we're reading for people, I see your mothers and grandmothers and cousins and aunts, and they all seem to be looking very young. And actually, I had a dream one time of an uncle who came to me who passed on with an alcoholic problem. And when he came to me, though, he passed on when he was in his late 70s. And when he came to me, though, he looked around 26 years old, and he was wearing a vibrant red sweater, and he was just full of life and being very, very happy.
Thank you, John. And we actually have a question that came in for you by text message. This is coming from Ellen. She's in Pennsylvania, and she's hoping you can tune in for her. Because she would like to as she says, they're estranged, and she wants to know, and she says she's hoping for the love of her daughter sooner rather than later. And can you tune in for her about that, if there's anything she can do to push that along, or what you see with that?
Okay. And what was the lady's name that we're tuning into?
Her name is Ellen.
Okay, and her daughter. Okay, let me just see. I guess I'll tell you as it is right now. Right now, your daughter is not interested in making any communication with you. But as time goes on, she'll meet people that have gone through not being in communication with their parents. And so through her friends, she'll have some friends that encourage her to do communicate with you. So there's really nothing that you can do at this time, okay? But as time goes on, I do believe very sincerely that your daughter will be the one that shows up and wants to communicate with you. And after you do communicate with each other and you're together for a while, you know, at first the relationship may be a little bit difficult, but as time goes on, you'll be more at peace with each other. So I'm very happy for you. So just let God and the angels take care of this. Okay, good. And, you know, talking about angels, we all have guardian angels who do help us and do inspire us from the other side of life. And so if you have let's say you're a musician and you're very sincere and you're very good at what you do and you're very dedicated, you will have different angels on the other side of life, and also, by the way, different ancestors on the other side of life who help you to pursue that natural talent of yours. And they will help you to meet people that you need to meet in order to do that. So we all have guardian angels and guides that work with us. It doesn't matter if you don't know them. They still know you, okay? And they're just happy to work with you. And they love and understand you unconditionally. They know more about you than you know about yourself.
Okay, John, we actually have a caller, a friend of yours from just, I think, north of Tampa, Florida. It's going to be a question that you love about an experience he's having with meditation. He's doing a lot of deep meditation, and he's actually been getting a ringing in one of his ears. Mike, are you here with us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Mike. How are you today, sir?
Good, good. How are you, John?
Okay. Now, is it the left ear or the right ear?
It's the right ear. Okay, so as I've been meditating, I can actually like almost feel the ringing like in the center of my head, and then more so in the right ear.
Okay.
And then
okay, now.
Now
when we meditate, you know, we have to change. When we go to meditating, we actually change our brain waves, okay? So you could say that we actually change our frequency. So that's when, for instance, I remember taking hypnosis courses, and when they were bringing you out of hypnosis, they would say, and there will be no ringing in your ears. And so sometimes the other side of the story is that if you're about to leave your body, or if you come back into your body too fast when waking from a dream, you may actually hear a buzzing in your ears. So, Mike, I believe that has to do with the change of frequency. So whatever is happening with you, you are literally changing your brainwaves, and you're causing a frequency inside you to change. Have you ever had that experience, Mike, by waking up in the middle of the night, ringing in your ears, or coming back too quickly, and there's ringing in your ears?
I've had a fair amount of ringing. A lot of times it's not so much with the meditation. It's just like normally, like after meditation, I could be walking around and then all of a sudden I'll hear like a ringing or even a vibrating or
yeah,
a clicking.
It really does feel like it's because you're changing the frequency. And again, that if you change your brain waves too quickly, okay, or if you come out of one state of mind into the next state of mind too quickly,
or if you remain in one state of mind while you're wide awake, you could get the buzzing in the ears. Now, I don't. So, have you checked? Are you saying it? You don't believe it's physical at all? Do you believe it's spiritual?
Yeah. Well, as you do spiritual work, you know this. You can change things physically.
Yeah. But I'm asking that question for the sake of the public.
I think it's probably both. I think the spiritual is helping to change things. I was just concerned or interested in what you would pick up on what might be going on.
I get it's a change of frequency, and again, meditating can do that. Okay, or when a person goes into a trance state, or when they're changing brainwaves, coming back very quickly from a sleep, or you change your brainwaves too quickly. That's one of the phenomena that happens. So, I definitely get that. I get that feeling. You may also find out that your clairaudience ability, like being able to intuitively hear, may get sharper also. How long has this ringing in the ear been going on with you, Michael?
Well, a long time, probably, 10, 15 years, but yet more recently, just a few days. It was more pronounced even just when I was meditating last night and a lot of ringing today.
Yeah, now it does sound like it's... if it does persist all the time now, if it gets to be all the time, you should get, check all bases, Michael. Go get it checked, okay? But I do believe it's more spiritual with you than anything that is physical.
Yeah, and I noticed this morning, like when I went outside, there was a hawk in my backyard. A lot of times I've noticed that they'll come around, the messenger of the spirit.
Yeah, the North American indigenous people believe that, and I believe that's true if you're that conscious or that open. Has a hawk come to visit you before, Mike?
Oh yeah, many times. And they'll I actually had an experience this spring where like a red-shouldered hawk was circling me and screeching in my front yard counterclockwise, just, maybe 15, 20 feet above me. And then I was like, wonder what its message is. And then it flies away and leaves, and then a red-tailed hawk shows up, lands in a pine tree, looks down at me, and it starts screeching at me. So two different types of hawks showing up.
Okay. You do feel like, that makes sense because, I know you, and you're what the North American Native people would call a medicine man, And so I can understand that. Yeah, I can understand that. Now, the next time it happens, has something, if I just had a spiritual experience that basically I'm supposed to pay attention to, or, sometimes they will come in and say, Mike, something's going to happen. It's very important to you in the next little while, so listen up, okay?
Okay.
So next time it happens, do that, okay? But I really,
in other words, it's kind of coming as a guide to pay attention.
Because I do feel as though you do have a North American Native teachers. For the people out there who are listening, that would be known as a spirit guide. And maybe you can help us with the public. Michael, why do you feel living in North America that we do have a tendency to have
North American indigenous people as spirit guides. Why do you think that is?
Well, because, I mean, the whole earth was sacred to them, but in this area, they lived here. Like in the Seminoles actually lived on these grounds that I live on. So,
right.
You know, it's no real mystery why some of their ancestry wouldn't be around you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you know what
that.
I mean. This and the ground was very sacred to them.
Yes, yes. And it is.
So were the rivers and the streams and the brooks and everything.
They believe that the spirit was in everything. But I really understand that deeper now than I ever understood it before, because the energy, life, God's energy is in everything. So you could say the spirit force that lives, moves, and has its being in each and every one of us is in every physical thing, because every physical thing is a manifestation of energy. So
that,
I really do understand that now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Like, for instance, I heard Ram Dass talking about communicating with trees and having the tree take you into a meditation. This is back in like 1991. And I wasn't developed enough then to actually, so I'm like interested. So I hear Ram Dass talking about it. I go out and start trying to use the tree to pull me into meditation. And because I wasn't developed enough, I wasn't able to really get too far. And that went on for over a decade, probably 10, 15 years. And then I started getting some information. So, it takes a long time and a lot of practice, and you got to keep trying.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't hit a weekend retreat and you blow everything open.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Yeah, Mike, we'd like to thank you for calling in. There's some other callers. We have a little bit of time left. Hey, Mike,
okay.
I'll be seeing you this winter. Seeing you this winter, Mike.
Okay, very good. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Thank you for calling in. Thank you. Okay, we have another caller. We have Ellen from Pennsylvania. How are you tonight? Hello?
I'm good, John. I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
We know each other, but I have a question. I want to find a purpose in life now that I'm retired, and I just can't figure it out. What would be a suggestion?
Okay. So let's just look at that's not just a fast answer now, okay? So, you know, there's a person who wrote a book, maybe you remember, it was called Follow Your Bliss. Do you remember that book, Follow Your Bliss?
No.
Okay,
sorry.
Well, it has to do with do what you love to do, okay? So we have to ask you a question. I'll think of this sincerely. If work were to become a manifestation of your passion and money and education was not an excuse you could use, what would you love to do? So take away any excuse of money, age, and education, and allow the magical child inside of you to answer that. What would you love to do?
Help people.
Okay.
My mother was a nurse, and where I'm living, I'm going to be running for president because there's a lot of people here, a lot older than I am, and we don't have things in place. At least I don't think so. And, you know, having lectured all over the world, this is not rocket scientists that we need to do to help one another, but
okay.
Well, I think you found your one of your... Now, listen, everybody's purpose is to become a self-realized being, but you can use your work as a vehicle to get there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? Yeah, so your purpose
yeah.
in life is to become a self-realized being, but your work, if it does become a manifestation of your passion, you can use your work as a vehicle to become a self-realized being. So I really think that now that you've talked to me about it, I really feel as though you have found your next step. You have found your vehicle. And
well,
I get
maybe, but it was interesting listening to Mike while waiting, because the other day there's a man up the street that he doesn't have a car, so occasionally I'll take him to doctor's appointment or here or there, whatever. And when I was dropping him off, this hawk, I thought he was going to take off the windshield of my car. I'd never seen a hawk that close, and I just thought, wow, I wonder what that was, listening to him speak about these hawks, and I might look into that myself.
Okay, that sounds beautiful, and it really does feel that you have found your vehicle to help you to do there. And I just want to get I got an impression as you were talking to me. I just got a feeling you're going to put on some really interesting programs for people. Okay, and I feel as though that sometimes we are appreciated, but sometimes people don't tell us, okay? So if you're really sincere and good and feel strong with your direction in life, you don't need other people to tell you that you're doing fine, okay? You know, I get a feeling of your father here. I don't know. I don't mean to tune into spirit, but that's kind of what I do. I get a feeling of your father. Mm-hmm. He's very proud of the decisions, and he wants you to go for it, okay? He wants you to go for it. Okay,
oh,
thank
well,
you very
thank
much
you
for
so
calling
much.
Us.
Thank
you're,
you.
You're welcome,
thank
hon.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, now, well, we're coming to the end of another very interesting and stimulating show. There's a lot of books out there for people who are looking for to find their purpose and their direction in life. Of course, there's the Bible, and then there's the there's different meditation books. There's beautiful books by Louise Hay, and there's some also books by Paramahansa Yogananda. And there's also some very good books on spiritualism. So let me just say this to you, that, you know, it's possible to be lonely in life sometimes, and we all go through periods of feelings like that. But let me just say, possible to be lonely, but it's impossible for you to be alone. If you knew who walked beside you at all times, it would blow your little mind. That's how important you are. And remember this. That God is your father, natural law is your mother, and the Holy Spirit is your companion. And so, and the angels and the guides and the loved ones on the other side of life are walking with you and talking with you and inspiring you. And when you open yourself up to that possibility, then you too can awaken the beautiful gift of mediumship. God bless you, and see you soon. Thank you.